Amen, amen. Appreciate that. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 1, if you will. Acts chapter 1. Anyone need a worksheet? Did not get a worksheet? Lift your hand up there. Anyone not get a worksheet? I'd like to meet with the deacons tonight after the service just for a minute, if I could. Just have a couple things I want to hand you. So if the deacon just kind of come by and see me before you leave this evening, I'd appreciate that. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And this part has, like everything else, seems to have taken longer than I wanted it to, but I do not want to make light of this. And we're going to get to some real practical step-by-step things, but this is very, very important when talking about winning somebody to the Lord. I think some folks, there's a misunderstanding that somehow, I think there's a, I think sometimes we equate being a Christian with being a good person, okay, and we should be able to do that. There should be a connection between the two. But I think sometimes we're not careful, even though those of us who know you're not saved by works still think, well, then as long as I can get this person to be a good person, then we did our job. And leading someone to Christ is different than, there's some people who say, well, I got saved. We had a young boy come in about 3 or 4 years ago, and he sat right here in the front, about the second and third row back. And after the service, it was a Wednesday night, and after the service, I went down and talked to him and chatted him. And I asked him a few questions. He said, oh, yes, I'm saved. I said, well, good. Well, tell me about it. So he began to explain to me. And the more he talked, the more I thought, I'm sure he understood my question. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. If you died today, you know for sure you go to heaven. Oh, I don't know about that, but I've been saved. And then I asked another question or two. What he meant was that he had a talk with a pastor, and a pastor kind of convinced him to basically turn over a new leaf and stop doing the things that he was doing that was going to cause issues and problems and consequences in his life. And so thus he had been saved from these consequences. And so when you lead somebody to the Lord these days, you can't just throw out these Christian terms. I mean, you just can't toss these Christian terms at people and expect them to understand. Listen, 36 years ago or more, my wife and I started dating, and she wasn't saved. I knew I couldn't marry her. I didn't call it dating. I called it being a friend, but you know how it is. But anyway, we got to talking, and she was asking about salvation, and we were chatting, and I said, well, you need to ask him to come into your heart. She said, well, what does that mean? Well, you need to ask him to be your personal savior. Well, what does that mean? You know, we have these nice little terms, but the average Joe in the street, or Josephine, doesn't know what you're talking about when you start throwing those terms around. So really what you got to do is put it in terms that people understand. On the other hand, on top of that, we can't do the convincing. It's not our job. It's not that we're going to debate them and have them become a Republican instead of a Democrat, or a Democrat in front instead of a Republican. That's not what we're doing here. There's a supernatural work that only God can do, but we're the vessels, and like we talked about last week, to present the bread of life. By the way, how long has it been? I mean, have you ever thought that we'd be looking at a socialist as a candidate for the president of the United States? I just thought I'd throw that out. But anyway, it just kind of hit me. Let's pray here. I mean, let's read Acts chapter 1, first few verses here. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Of course, this is Luke. This is the writing of Luke. This is like an extension of the book of Luke. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, Jesus, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, many by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining of the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. He commanded them to don't go anywhere from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. And of course, we talked about a few weeks ago, the promise was given in the Old Testament, was given in the New Testament, fulfilled in the New Testament. We see the promise in Joel. We see the promise in Isaiah. And the fact is that there's going to be a promise, going to be something different. It's going to be the power of God is going to come on people, but not only on them, but in them and fill them. He says, verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized, immersed, overwhelmed with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. When they were therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But, let's get back to the topic of what you're supposed to be doing. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth. Verse 12, then returned they unto Jerusalem with a mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into the upper room where abode and talked about what they did. In verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Of course, in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, verse 1, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And of course, that's when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. We're going to do a part two on the work of the Holy Spirit in soul winning. The work of the Holy Spirit in soul winning. Father, again, we thank you for your word. I thank you for teaching us so much here in the last few weeks. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless this time. We need your Holy Spirit to learn about you. I certainly can't do it. You need to do it. This is a concept that's not just human, Lord. It's supernatural. So, Lord, we need you to work in our hearts. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. On your paper last week, we found out that there was a purpose for being filled. Where the purpose is not to get happy. The purpose is not to have joy, though those things may happen. The purpose is not to be able to speak in tongues, though that could still happen. It's not that it can happen, but it's not normally needed. And really what a lot of people call that is really not what God ever intended, because it was for the speaking of the works, the wonderful works of God. But he says the purpose of it here, number one, your purpose were to be witnesses. And y'all got these references. You can go back if you're just getting here this week. You can go back and say these. So the purpose was to be witnesses. That's what he says. You receive power and you should be witnesses. You're going to tell what happened to you. What does a witness do? Tell somebody what they have personally experienced. I hope you personally experienced the salvation that Christ gives, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And our job is to give witness to what God has done. The second is to speak the wonderful works of God. And again, I'm not going to go back and reteach this. We've got so much more to touch, and we're already extra late here tonight. It's not about a lot of hubbub or barking revivals or laughing revivals or running, spitting, slobbering revivals. That's not what we're talking about, but it's about speaking the word of God with boldness. They are just to be able to speak of the wonderful works of God. That's what it's for. Listen, he didn't say any of this other stuff, except we're supposed to go tell folks about how to get saved with Jesus Christ on the cross. The procedure, we almost got finished last week. The number two, the procedure to be filled was underneath letter A there, to be right with both God and man. In other words, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we need to be emptied of self. Self is sin. To be filled with Him, we got to have less of us. So underneath our letter B, we need to be surrendered. We need to give up. You've heard me say many times, the victory is not in the fight, it's in the surrender. It's not us fighting in our flesh. It's not us fighting each other. It's in surrendering to Him and doing His will, do as He calls us to do. The victory is in the surrender. That word filled underneath there to mean crammed full. Listen, some folks, I've had folks say, well, everything needs to be done in moderation, even Christ. Nope, you can't have too much Christ. You cannot have too much Jesus in you. You just can't. He's not, listen, when he's in control, then you're exactly where you need to be. You want as much of him in control as possible. Now, as you go through life, you're going to think, well, I thought I was all surrendered. And then God's going to show something else. You're going to find out you don't have surrendered. You're going to go through some trials, like I talked on Sunday morning. God tries the heart. First for gold, finding pot for silver, but God trieth the heart. He's going to show you what we are. Search me and try me, Lord, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Listen, he's not going to clean all of you up at one time. We can't take it. We can't take it. But I'll tell you what. Listen, you let him take you through, because what we need to do is surrender our will to him. God's not Calvinist. God's not a Calvinist. And not only do we surrender ourselves to him and let him take control. Letter C, we need to surrender our bodies. Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. In other words, what do you do with the flesh that you live in, that God has given you? You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. What was the statement Brother Burrell said last on Sunday night? What did he say? Who was it? I think it was him. He said, in the Old Testament, God made a tabernacle for man. And in the New Testament, he made man his tabernacle. And that's a good statement. We're the tabernacle. Now, we are the body of Christ. Letter D, we need to surrender our thought lives. We need to surrender our thought lives. What do you think about? Every thought should be brought into captivity. You can't be filled with the Spirit and watching porno. You can't be filled with the Spirit and filled with making the almighty dollar. In other words, I'm not saying you should work hard, but if your goal is to just see how much you can make, you're filled with that. You're not filled with the Spirit of God. You don't have you can be rich and filled with the Spirit of God. That's not what I'm talking about. Listen, I've had people who don't have hardly any money, and they say that. That this rich person loves money. Well, I know a lot of poor people who love money as much as anybody else, because that's where their focus is. That they think somehow it's going to be their savior, and so we're not going to go there. But anyway, we need our thought life. Letter E, we need to surrender our pride. That's a biggie. We got to surrender our pride. We can't be trying to run things and let the Holy Spirit run things. Letter F from last week, I didn't give you prayer. And I spent a lot of time on that on Sunday morning. But prayer is utter dependence upon God. Now you say, what are you doing? What are you saying here? Listen, if I think that I can win somebody to the Lord by myself without depending on God to do it, I've made an idol out of me. I cannot do the supernatural. God does it. Now, listen, that doesn't mean that I shouldn't learn. Listen, I should know everything. I should know the Word of God before I can give it out. He says he'll teach, the Holy Spirit will come and teach us, guide us into all truth, bring it back to our remembrance. But you got to know it, you got to memorize it before you can bring it back to your remembrance. You know, it's got to be in there. You need to work to get it in there. Listen, this is watching and waiting. That goes along with this. He says, wait in Jerusalem till you be endued with power. He says, listen, don't go off here half-cocked. I know you have been around me for 3.5 years, he's telling his disciples. But he says, that's not enough to win them. You need the power of God on your life. You need God to do the work. And so listen, while we're going through here, we all ought to be on our knees saying, Lord, is there anything in my life that needs to be removed? We talked about that little thing last week about running it out and cross it off and throw it in the fire and get rid of it. And by the way, keep short accounts with God. You get dirty all over again. Do you know you probably don't wash your plates just once a week before you eat? The plates you eat on, you probably don't just wash them once a week, all right? You wash them after every time you eat, because you don't want to eat off a dirty plate. And we have no right to expect other people to be eating the bread of life off of our dirty plate. We need to be coming to them clean before God. God will use that. Letter G, praise. Praise. Give God the credit for what you do. I mean, listen, if God is the answer to the problem that we need, then there is no other answer that will do. And if he's the one to answer, then we need to give him the credit. So listen, we ought to be waiting on him, praying, asking him to give us the power that we need to lead somebody to Christ. Or aren't souls worth that much to us? You know, we talk about watering and planting, that's fine. But the fact is, we need to plant the way God has asked us to plant it, in the filling of the Holy Spirit. We need to give him the praise. Letter H, we need to be of one purpose. We're talking about how to have the filling of the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Holy Spirit. Listen, when it said that they were in one place, in one accord, and praying together, and listen, we ought to be of one purpose. Be set on a singular purpose of the salvation of souls. Now listen, that's what he's called us to do as a church, as a corporate body. If our body in general is not going after souls, we're going to have a hard time going after souls. You individually might be able to do it, but the church is not going to have the impact that it should. And by the way, we need to make sure we don't have animosity against each other. If we have animosity against each other, our prayers are going to be hindered. We're not going to accomplish what we need to get accomplished. By the way, can only by pride come the contention. See, it all comes back around the same way. Get rid of the pride. If there's contention within the body of Christ, God's not going to bless that body like he should or like he can. We got to decide our purpose. Listen, I love our church, and this always makes my skin crawl when somebody says this. Well, I like our church because we know everybody. I know what you're saying, and I like having our church. I like our family, and I do. I really do. But the fact is, the family's job is to bring more people into the family. Our church should be so big that we can't keep up with knowing everybody. I'm sorry. That's the way it is. Aren't you glad that somebody told you? Maybe we should have made a cutoff point before you joined the church. Where do you make the cutoff point? Listen, I grew up in a little church. That's where I was at my aunt's funeral. And it's one of those churches where everybody's related to everybody else. You go home to that church, it's like having a family reunion. But the fact is, when I went to an independent fundamental Baptist church, we decided we needed to leave, and I didn't want to go there because it was too big. Now, it was twice as big as we are. I said I said in my heart it was too big. Didn't tell Janet it was too big. I said it in my heart. And the biggest problem was I didn't like being a small fish in a big pond. I didn't want to be going to a big place where everybody didn't know me. I wanted a family. I thought it was too big. I'll never get to do anything, never get to know everybody. And this is what I decided. If a church is doing what's supposed to do according to Acts chapter 1, it will grow. If there's still people in town, it's going to grow. And I just happened to get it in the middle of the growth spurt here. It's already moving pretty good. What are you going to do? How do you fight that? You can't. We got to move on. Number I, letter I, precepts. How to get filled with the Spirit of God. All those things we talk about, prayer, give him the praise. Have one purpose, because the purpose of the Spirit is to see souls saved. The precepts, know the study of the Word of God. Why? Because then we'll obey. If you're not willing to obey God, you can't be filled with him. You've pushed him out. It's the same thing. We say, well, you know, where's God? Where was God when the towers came down? Where was God when this happened? Where was God with this? Well, we kicked him out of our lives years ago. Back in the 60s. What do you mean, where was God? You put him on the outside of the door, and he's been out there saying, can I come in where I can sup with you and you with me? We kicked him out. Same thing with the Word of God we talked about on Sunday. Listen, if I turn away my ear from hearing him, he will not hear me. We want the power of God to win somebody to Christ, but if we're not willing to listen to the Word of God, why is he going to do us with his power? Not going to happen. Number three, the power. The power of the Holy Spirit. Now listen to me. The question is this. And I have said this, I've thought this. Probably almost every Christian who has a passion of all to lead somebody to Christ has probably asked themselves this question. Well, why should anybody listen to me? If I give them the gospel, why should they listen to me? Well, good question. There's no reason why they should. Now, we certainly don't want to give them any fuel for the fire by serving on dirty plates, not being what we're supposed to be, being a gossip, being a cantankerous employee, having a bad testimony. You know, that just makes it even worse. But let's say you may have a perfect testimony and so forth and so on. The fact is, why should they listen to you? Well, number one, the Spirit gives, here it is, authority. The Spirit gives authority. If you have the Holy Spirit, this is the work of the Spirit in soul winning, the Spirit gives authority. Matthew 7:28 says, and it came to pass when Jesus had called these sayings, ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Now, the scribes were the ones who wrote the scriptures day after day after day, making copies, scripture after verse, been doing this for a lifetime. They know the scriptures. But it's not just knowing the information, though you need to know the information. It's something behind your word as it is spoken. Jesus was the fulfillment, the example, the embodiment of God himself, the Holy Spirit working through him. We read it in Acts, until the day in which he was taken up after that he, through the Holy Ghost, Jesus worked through the Holy Ghost, or through the Holy Ghost worked through him. If Jesus needs the Holy Ghost, what do you think we need? And so he spoke with authority. Number two, the Spirit speaks to the heart. The Spirit of God speaks to the heart. Luke 24:30, the resurrection Christ had been talking to these two men on the road to Emmaus. And it said, it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, they finally got to the house, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And it says he talked to them from Moses all the way through of what it says about him. It speaks to their heart. Their hearts burned. Their hearts burned before they even knew who he was. They didn't know who he was. Then when he breaks the bread and gives thanks, we know who this guy is. But their heart already burned. So it wasn't his personality. It wasn't some kind of, they weren't necessarily impressed with this fella. And but the fact is, he was speaking to the heart. The Holy Spirit speaks to the soul of the person while we speak to the mind of the person. We're giving them information. The Holy Spirit's on in there saying, you know that's true. You know that's true. You know that's true. But by the way, if you're going to do that, I would spend most of my time showing them scripture. I would spend less time on a lot of funny little illustrations and this little fancy thing and that little fancy thing. I really, to be honest with you, I'm not saying God can't use those things. And if that's all we got, that guess we better use it. But the fact is, we have the Word of God. We ought to get the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Their faith is not in some little story I told. If the story is only of any of value if it helps them understand the Word of God itself. But what they need to know is know the Scripture and know what that Scripture means. And so our goal is to give them the Word of God. Let me give you letter B. I want you to see power from on high. Take your Bible and look at Luke 24. End of Luke, last few verses there, Luke 24:48. Well, let me go back to verse 46, because I haven't read that whole passage tonight. Luke 24:46. And Jesus said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of the Father, that's the Holy Spirit, upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. It's a power from on high. That word high, the number two underneath there, means beyond us. This is a power that's beyond us. It's superior to us. This is not our intellectual ability to explain things. Now, the better we can explain things, the better it's going to be, I understand. Again, we can kind of take away from it, but listen, what we want is to put him out there, give them the word of God with the power on high. It's a power from on high. It's beyond us. Letter C. It's a power beyond nature. It's a power beyond nature. You know Acts chapter 1 through 12. I'm not going to go through all that. We're talking about when they spoke with tongues. Now, the fact is, there's other places they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and it doesn't say anything about them speaking with tongues. You go down and read that passage. This is letter C underneath number 3. You go to and read that passage, and we're hearing, all of us are hearing them speak the wonderful works of God in our own languages. How is it we're hearing in our own languages? It's a supernatural power. It's a power beyond nature. God, listen, the power beyond nature, when God decided to split the Red Sea, did the same thing for the Jordan River. He gave Gideon the victory with 300 people over thousands. Listen, it's a power beyond nature. You've got to realize that this is not just good nature. Christianity is not just natural people being good. It's the supernatural power of God working through us as we yield to him. I'll be honest with you, our society has seen so little of the natural of God working that we almost get a little bit weird, a little bit unnerved. Again, I'm not talking about crazy things necessarily. I'm not talking about putting on a show, but I am talking about the power of God to speak the wonderful works of God. Letter D. Watch this. It's a power beyond personality, beyond position, and beyond educational intellect. A power beyond personality. In Acts chapter 4, verse 1, it talks about, and they said, they spake of the people, the priests, and the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold, and the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Now, these fishermen are turning the city upside down. We talk about all this, and it says in verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, verse 9, if we this day be examined of the good deed done in the impotent man, by what means he's made whole, be it known unto you and unto all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Go down to verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they couldn't say a thing against it. They could say nothing against it. What am I saying this? These guys are just fishermen. They're nobody special. They're just regular Joes. Why were they able to have such of an influence on the people of that city? They had been with Jesus. Okay, now, point is this. We have the mind of Christ. We have the Spirit of Christ. When he went up, he sent the Holy Spirit, and he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Listen, you got to let him have the power over you. You surrender to him. And as you surrender him, what that little personality problem, you say, well, I'm too shy to talk about it. I couldn't do this, or I stutter, or I have this. God will get you over that. God can get you past that. Stop trusting in who you are. You've heard my testimony so many times. I'm still not a very good preacher, but the fact is God has used us to lead a lot of folks, hundreds of people to the Lord in this area since I've been here. Now, the fact is, you know me as Sterling Loudmouth, you know, bubbly. Listen, I'm the guy that wants to go into a party, sit in a corner, and if you want to come talk to me about shop or something, I will, but I really don't want to do that. I'm not that tight naturally. That's what I am naturally. What I'm saying is God can get you past that if you're willing to surrender to him to do whatever he calls you to do. Especially the main thing is he wants you to win souls. Now, on the other hand, you say, well, I've got a really nice personality. I'm good looking. And I can handle myself, and people like me. So I ought to be able to win a lot of folks to Christ. You will probably do nothing. You might win a lot of folks to you. Now, you take all that goody and yield it to God, then you really got a, you got you you you've got something good there now. You give what you got. You've heard me say it. I'll say it again. Old Joe Arthur says, little is much when God's in it, when God gets in, and God gets in it when you give him what you got. So letter D, power beyond personality. Letter E, power beyond fear. Power beyond fear. Acts chapter 5, verse 27. It says, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council. The high priest asked them, saying, did not we strictly command you that ye should not teach in his name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood on us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. And God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be the Prince and Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. If you go back to back to chapter 4, it says, verse 29. It says, and now, verse 29, 4:29, now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that the signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. So, well, I just don't have the nerve to say it. God will give you the nerve. God will give you the nerve. 1 John 4:15, let me read it to you. Maybe you have it there. 1 John 4:15 says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is love that was made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. He says, we're going to have the boldness to tell others of Christ, because our love for him and through him our love for others is going to put fear on the back burner, because it's more important that they know the truth than that I live. You understand what I'm saying? It's more important that the world knows that Jesus died than for me to live. For me to live is Christ. For me to die is gain. But see, we're so worried about somebody's going to turn their nose up at us, we don't want to tell them about Jesus. We're so afraid we're going to lose our friend on this side, but apparently we don't care we're going to lose him for eternity, because we don't have enough nerve to, in love, give them the gospel of Christ. You love that friend so much, and somehow, some way, along the way, with the Holy Spirit's wisdom and power, you should be able to tell them, you know, that we're all sinners. Because of our sin, we deserve death and hell. But Jesus died and paid for all our sin. And we'll trust him alone for our salvation. He'll save us. We ought to be able to do that. Love would do that. Number four. We're talking about the work of the Holy Spirit in winning souls. Number four. Acceptance of the gospel. Now, kind of shifting gears here. Let's say you have the Holy Spirit power. The Lord has worked. You've surrendered. You've prayed for his power. You've waited for him. You're seeking the word. You're memorizing the scripture. You're internalizing the concepts. The concept, the doctrine of your salvation is just oozing up, ready to explode like Mount St. Helen. I mean, just ready to boom. You just can't wait to tell somebody. You've got the boldness and so forth. And so you give the gospel in love. You do everything right. There's going to be differences in acceptances by the other person. So number four, the acceptance of the gospel. Letter A, the results are foretold. The results are foretold. Luke chapter 12. Do you have that one? Yeah. Luke chapter 12, verse 51. It says, "Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son against the father, and the mother against the daughter, and daughter against the mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother." So, well, I thought doing this was supposed to make everything wonderful. If everybody gets on board with Christ, it is. But not everybody's going to get on board with Christ. Well, then, should I just keep my mouth shut? Okay, so then you know for sure they're going to go to hell that way, right? If you don't ever give them the gospel, we know for sure they're going to hell. If I give them the gospel of truth and love, they may or may not accept it, but there's still a chance. And by the way, I've had folks say, somebody recently, they said, "Pastor, I'd like you to go, so-and-so's not well, I'd like you to go see him, but he's one of the meanest men I've ever met in my life. And when it comes to things of God, he just does not want to hear. Against it. Would you go see him?" Well, sure. Same reason that Jesus said, "I'd rather you be cold or hot, but because you're lukewarm, I spew you out of my mouth." Listen, when somebody's hot, I've had several folks, I mean, it's like God dumped them in my lap and said, "Win them to Christ." It's like I could hardly tell it fast enough. And they're just ready, and you say, "Okay, so if he'll take you just like you are, forgive your sin, and give you a home in heaven, would you let him do it?" Yes! I mean, they're just like ready. But I also had folks who, they said, don't talk to them. But the fact is, if they're still mad at the gospel, they're probably still thinking. Their pride's probably against it, but they're still thinking. Let me give you letter B. Many received the gospel. And that's what happened. I'm giving you plenty, several examples here. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37, it says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart." This is the big message that Peter gave at Pentecost. "They were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' And Peter said unto them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call.'" You know what he's saying? When he says the gift of the Holy Ghost, you put in context the rest of this chapter, what's he saying? You can come to know Christ and you can let everybody else know. You'll have the power, you'll have the power, access to the power to lead other people to know Christ. And so he's talking about save yourselves in this untoward generation. Verse 41, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Some people received it. Acts chapter 5. Verse 14 says, "And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women." Acts chapter 6, verse 7 says, "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." So you give out the gospel with the Holy Ghost, you'd be surprised. Even some of those Jewish priests got saved. Amazing, wonderful thing. But letter C, many rejected. Many rejected. You go back to chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "They spake to the people, the priests, and the captive of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them, put them hold the next day, and it was now eventide." So some people rejected. Verse 21 of that same chapter. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them, because the people, for all men, glorify God for that which was done. What are they saying? We want to get these guys. You're not going to win everyone to Christ. You're not a failure as a soul winner, because not everybody receives. Not everybody received Jesus. Not everybody received Peter and John. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is going in there saying, remember, the Holy Ghost reproves the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. It tells us that what sin is, it tells us what righteousness is, and tells us what the judgment is if we don't get straight between the two. Now, you're sitting here as a saved person saying, well, obviously, if you said it right, they would have received, because look what I did. No. Amen that you did. But not all people are going to do that. You know one of the hardest things is? When it's somebody you love. A family member. But wait a minute. There's a reason why Paul said, you know, Paul's planted, I watered, or I watered, Paul's planted, or whatever it is, and but God gives the increase. Let me also say this. It takes a while sometimes with some people. They don't receive the first time. Don't stop that. Don't say, well, then just go to hell for all I care and leave. They don't do that. You love them, care for them, say, well, listen, here's something. Read it and think about it sometime. You know, the pastor has something on the website that says, have you ever wondered? Click on that sometime. You get to think about checking on it. You'd be surprised how many folks will just get on when no one else is looking. Just check it out again. Some are going to reject it. 532. And we are his witnesses of these things, so also the Holy Ghost whom God hath given to them to obey him. When he heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. The Holy Spirit spoke to their heart. And what do they decide to do? We're going to kill the messenger. Don't expect everybody to jump up and down and kiss you on the lips for giving them the gospel. Acts chapter 7, verse 54. It says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. This is the stoning of Stephen. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost. Well, he must have been in the flesh and said it wrong when he did it. No, he was full of the Holy Ghost. And they said, I don't want to hear it. You go back and read it. They stopped their ears, ran, and they bit on him and threw stones at him and rejected. He looking up with the face of an angel, seeing Christ standing at the right hand of the Father while they stoned him to death, filled with the Holy Ghost. So, well, I'm not sure I want to give anybody the gospel if you're going to get killed for it. Love casts out all fear. That person's soul's worth more than my body. They can't kill my soul. My soul's already guaranteed. It's got a reservation. That's hard. That also means I'm willing to lose a friend if I make sure they know the gospel. Now, I'm going to give it to as lovingly as I can. But I got to do with all I got to give it with all I can, with all the filling of the Holy Spirit. Some are going to accept and some are going to reject. Don't be surprised either way. You may be surprised the person that does accept. You'll be surprised the person that doesn't. As long as you speak the truth in love, it's not our fault whether the gospel is accepted or rejected. It may surprise you who rejects the gospel, who accepts it. Folks that seem like good people may reject it. Pride can enter in. But folks that you thought would never accept it do accept it because they see their sin. Our job is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Number five, fruit that remains. Fruit that remains. I'm almost done. I know it's a little late. Fruits that remain. John 15 says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now we know what we're talking about, Jesus laying down his life for his friends. But wait a minute. Are you willing to lay down the good of your life? Can I say it that way? Are you willing to lay down your reputation? Are you willing to lay down everybody thinking you're a wonderful friend? Well, see, if I give them the gospel, won't they just think I'm the greatest guy in the world? And I didn't think about Jesus that way. He says, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye've not chosen me, but I have chosen you, ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit shall remain. That whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. What am I saying here? Listen, I'd rather be his friend. He says, you get in on the business. What's the business? Winning souls to Christ. I have ordained you to go out and give the gospel, to win fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Let it be, I think I gave it to you, maybe I didn't give it to you. You see whether it's of God, the fruit that we have is whether it's of God. Again, Acts chapter 5, verse 34. Gamaliel says, then stood up there one of the council of Pharisees named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, and in reputation among all the people, commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And he said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men, these soul winners. For before these days rose up, it talks about these guys who thought they were somebody special, and everybody joined them, they scattered. Verse 37, after this man rose up, Judas of Galilee, and they've perished, and even that. And so, and then that's verse 38. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them that they should speak, and that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. To see whether it's of God, watch it down the road. You can tell whether it took or not. I've had folks that I know prayed a prayer with me and never got saved. I know that's happened because nothing has changed at all. There's going to be some fruit, somehow. But on the other hand, by the long term, letter C, fruit we will see it if it's real. Luke said, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For the thorns men do not gather figs, nor the bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. Evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart is his mouth speaketh. In other words, our job is with the Holy Spirit to give the gospel, make it clear, and that's our job. Lead them to come to know Christ. Letter D, there's a difference between reformation and regeneration. We're not here to reform our society. We're here to give out the Word of God and the power of God so that God regenerates our society. Regenerates the heart of the people that make up our society. It's not our job to do it. It's not our job to do the saving. It's our job to give the gospel. God can still save souls. God can use you. Here's the thing. Let me bring to a conclusion here. We need to get serious about our calling. He's ordained us to bring forth fruit and that the fruit should remain. Now, I understand we live in different, everyone has a different life. I understand that. And the fact is, it'd be a sad thing, I shouldn't say that sad thing, but it'd be a bad thing if you had a preacher who couldn't win somebody to the Lord. That'd be a crazy thing. So, yes, I'm supposed to be winning folks to the Lord. Yes, our staff should be winning folks to the Lord. But you're also the body of Christ. Now, do I have more opportunities? Sure, they call me up and someone's sick in the hospital and they need somebody to talk. And man, the guy's hurting already. And you know, you come to a point there and their heart's tendered and they know where they've been and they're thinking about their maker and meeting him sooner than they wanted to. And you can give them the gospel and lead them to Christ. Sure. But there's going to be people that I'm not going to see that you're going to see. Now, you may win just a few folks in your lifetime, but we better win the ones that God brought across our way, across our path. You know the story of Simeon? Simeon, when Jesus was 8 days old to take him to the temple, to dedicate him, and they walk in with the baby, and Simeon, this older man, says, This is the light of the Gentiles. This is who I'm. Listen, God said I wouldn't depart from this world until I've seen the consolation of Israel. And here he is. Now, I don't know what else he did in his life, but God made mention that's what he did. He stood there and says, this is the one. This is him right here. I don't know who was in the temple that day or whether the fact was supposed to be recorded so that we could see it. But the fact is, he lived most of his life. But maybe the main thing he was supposed to do was stand there in that day and say, this is him. Neon sign. Here we are. And Anna comes over and, oh my, this is the one, you know. And I don't know. But I would hate to miss the ones that we're supposed to have. But I tell you this, you get good at it, God will start to dump them in your lap. I've seen it too many times, not just be other people. You're ready to give the gospel and you can do it, God will start dumping other folks in your lap saying, basically what they said to Peter, what must I do to be saved? They said that to Paul, the jailer, but there in Acts chapter 2, it says, okay, what do we do now? We need to get serious about our calling, serious about surrendering. I mentioned that last week. Serious about praying for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Serious about it. We need to get serious about being a witness. We need to get serious about understanding and being able to communicate the gospel. If you can take it or leave it, I'm pretty well sure you'll leave it. Who was it that said, Lord, give me Ireland? Remember now who it was. There's been several missionaries over the years who said, Lord, just give me these people. I talked to you about that guy who we went through our soul winning club. The whole time didn't get a chance to win anybody, Lord. Just he was out, nobody won it. Got halfway through before he won the first one. He lived in a development in Westminster, Maryland called the Greens. It wasn't because it was near the golf course, but it was called the Greens, and there was houses all over the place. A lot of starter homes. I mean, just hundreds of starter homes, and that's where he lived. And this is what he said. He said, Lord, give me the Greens. So every week, he had a certain amount of time he could set aside. He just started knocking on doors. And if he got to talk to somebody and figure out what else, he kept record of that. Where he stopped, when he ran out of time, he stopped, picked up the next door. Just kept going. Every week, he led 2, 3, 4, sometimes way more than that, to the Lord. He says, I'm going to make sure every single one of these people know the gospel. Now, were they all saved? I don't know. Lord knows. But I'll tell you this, they knew. At least they had the opportunity to reject it. They had an opportunity to receive it. Give them the gospel. You've been patient. Next week, start some real practical things, all right? It's going to be a class, all right? And by the time we're done here, I want you to know how to lead somebody to the Lord as easy it is to get them to the giant down here off of Palomino Road. That's what I want to do. So it'll be a little bit of repetition, a little bit of things like that. But listen, I want it to the point where you could preach the sermon if you needed to. Because that's exactly what you need to be able to do, to give the message. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for your love for us, and thank you for the love of all those other people that need to know you. And Lord, help us to be your witnesses. Lord, give us your power. Lord, I pray that each one here in this room would have such a desire to know you more fully, to be filled with you, to have that power, to have that passion, that we may lead others to Christ. Lord, speak to us, and I pray these next few weeks that you'll just do a great thing in the hearts of our people. Thank you so much for what you're doing for these dear folks. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.